WTF by Atarata, read by X-Men Hater. Summary: Shen Ting-Qiu bullies Shang Ting-Hua into giving him spoilers and takes a leap of faith into the endless abyss. Shen Ting-Qiu noticed something. There was a lot going on and a lot to notice. The endless abyss had opened practically at their feet. The system was counting down like it was New Year's Eve, and Bingyu was fighting Mobei fucking June instead of a demon rhinoceros. But that's not what had stopped him cold in his tracks. WTF, Shang Ting-Hua had said and pretended to faint. WTF, who used that acronym in this world? Transmigrators, that's who. Any other day, Shen Ting-Qiu might have been happy to not be alone in this wide, strange world. But he was having a bad day. He had 5 minutes to yeet his adorable disciple into a hellmouth, and so many teenagers had already died that he couldn't even enjoy the monsters. So Shen Ting-Qiu kicked Shang Ting-Hua and said, "Get up." "I'm unconscious. Stop kicking me," Shang Ting-Hua said, clearly not unconscious. "Why is Mobei Jun here?"
"He does what he wants. I don't fucking know."
"What did you say to him?" Shang Ting-Hua had rolled over and tried to caterpillar away from him, wriggling along the ground. But Shen Ting-Qiu planted his boot in the small of his back and leaned.
"Oof."
"Mobei Jun is here in person. What did you say to him?"
"Nothing. This was all his idea. I mean, I asked him if he could tell the Black Moon Rhinoceros Python not to hurt me, and he said no, they don't make friends, and I said fine, I just run away, and he frowned, but he always frowns."
Mobei Jun was currently frowning as he tried to stab a nimbly dodging Bingyu, so that part of the story checked out. He must have thought he'd lose his spy to incompetence if he didn't oversee things personally. Did that mean he liked Shang Ting-Hua? Shen Ting-Qiu looked at Shang Ting-Hua, who was currently flailing like a pinned bug, and somehow doubted it. But then again, "Here, let me help you up," he said sweetly. Shang Ting-Hua froze.
"I'd really rather not get up," he said.
Shen Ting-Qiu hauled him up by the back of his robes, dusted him off gently, and said, "Proud immortal demon Wei."
"Oh,"
Shang Ting-Hua said. Then he blinked and his eyes became very wide.
"Oh,"
he said again.
"Yes."
"This makes so much more sense because, bro, you are acting way out of character."
"I broke the OOC restrictions already,"
Shen Ting-Qiu explained.
"And you aren't freaking out at all about the demon mark on Luo Binghe?"
Shen Ting-Qiu looked over. The demon mark had just begun glowing on Luo Binghe's forehead as he leveraged every ounce of his might against his older and more experienced foe. Shit, the demonic heritage reveal had already started. He should go over and help, but, well, Bingyu was the protagonist. Even if it was 5 years too early for him to face Mobei Jun, he'd be fine. Mobei Jun hit Luo Binghe with such a hard blow with the flat of his blade that Binghe flew back several feet and hit a tree trunk with an "Ugh!" and a cracking noise that didn't sound healthy. He'd probably still be fine.
"Tell me what you remember about the Endless Abyss," Shen Nguyen asked, hoping to pool his knowledge with a fellow transmigrator.
Shen Ting-Qiu had a fairly good memory for things he'd read. Sometimes he was prone to tuning out conversations or daily incidentals, like where he left this fan or that book. But when he really engaged with a good novel or bestiary, he tended to retain it. But the Abyss had been so early on that it was already several years since he read it by the time he'd transmigrated.
"It's a kind of mustard seed dimension where the demons used to seal all the really bad monsters until..."
"I don't have time for a history lesson. I need to know how to get in and out quickly."
"You're not going in there. Stop shaking me, bro. I don't remember. Come on, it's been years. And I don't have a good memory to start with. If I did, it wouldn't have been such a big deal when my computer died and I lost my outline."
Shen Ting-Qiu stopped shaking him and narrowed his eyes.
"Are you," he said slowly, "are you airplane shooting towards the sky?"
"You say that like it's a bad thing,"
Shang Ting-Hua pouted.
"Hurts my feelings."
Was he kidding? He wrote this trash fire of a shitty porn novel. Of course it was bad. Except in this case, where it was his only hope.
"There has to be a shortcut," Shen Ting-Qiu insisted.
"Maybe there is,"
Shang Ting-Hua temporized.
"But I don't... Water! If you find water, you can follow it."
That's it?
Shen Tingjiu had been hoping for something a little less vague than that, something to justify the gamble his mind was insisting he take.
Upstream, downstream?
Yes? Both?
Shang Tinghua said, clearly only half paying attention, his eyes fixed worriedly on Mo Beijun, who had nearly lost a hand to a lucky blow from Zhen Yang. A second later, Mo Beijun had launched a glittering spear of ice into Binghe's thigh. Shen Tingjiu abruptly lost patience and initiated Plan B, which was to grapple Shang Tinghua, place Xu Ya at his neck, and threaten Mo Beijun.
Stop, or I'll cut this traitor's throat,
he said in the most authoritative voice you could muster. The original good's voice was well suited for it, and the threat drew everyone's attention. And weirdly, it worked. Mo Beijun stopped attacking Luo Binghe and glared at Shen Tingjiu, the promise of ice magic glittering around his fist.
I'll give you back your spy, he said, if you leave my disciple alone.
I can fight,
Binghe protested, wiping his bleeding nose. A new trickle of blood along his hairline dripped down onto the back of his hand.
That worked,
Shang Tinghua said.
Wait, that worked?
Shen Tingjiu lowered Xu Ya and pushed Shang Tinghua toward Mo Beijun, who caught him as he stumbled, listing perilously close to the edge. A moment later, they both teleported away with a twist of space. He only had a minute left.
Binghe,
he said, interrupting his disciple's protests and beckoned him to the edge of the abyss.
Come here.
Binghe approached obediently, but eyed the fiery chasm warily. How did you explain to someone that they needed to jump into hell with you? Without time to dance around the subject, Shen Tingjiu just gestured to the yawning gap.
We'll need to fly down on Zhen Yang.
Shizun? Binghe asked tremulously. The demonic sigil on his forehead flickered slightly. Shen Tingjiu sighed.
Binghe, you have the blood of heavenly demons in your veins and have revealed your heritage at an event where many disciples died at the hands of a demonic invasion. You are not safe here, and you are not safe among the righteous sects either. Not now.
I'll hide it, I swear, Binghe protested.
That's no longer an option. Even if Shang Shishu keeps silent, others may have seen.
Binghe shook his head in denial.
I know it looks frightening, but haven't I always told you that you'll be all right? This isn't any different.
No.
There isn't time to argue, Binghe. We need to find a way down before the abyss closes.
Shizun,
Binghe cried. Fat tears were rolling from his eyes, the irises red and eerie, reflecting in them like blood.
Please don't cast me away.
Bloodied and unbroken, he looked like a hero a moment ago, but now he just looked young. Shen Tingjiu placed a hand on his heart.
Binghe, you aren't listening, he scolded gently. This master is going with you, only I need your help to get there because of without a cure.
Binghu's eyes grew even more frantic.
If Shizun is being affected by the poison, we must treat it. That flower
won't work, and there isn't time, Binghe. We need to go now.
He was getting desperate, watching the countdown in the system HUD. Binghe was usually so obedient, but asking anyone to walk into hell was bound to be a bit of a struggle. Binghe set his shoulders, looking resolute and unfortunately stubborn.
This disciple will go alone.
Shen Tingjiu was really very tempted to take him up on that offer. That was his original plan, one way or another. But wasn't there still a chance that Binghe might feel he was manipulated in hindsight and grow resentful? No. He'd decided to hug the protagonist's thigh, and there was no point letting go of it now. He'd hug it to hell and back, and hopefully see some really cool monsters along the way. And hopefully, airplane shooting towards the sky's advice would end up halfway useful, and Shen Tingjiu wouldn't have to spend longer in the abyss than he had in college. 5, 4, 3. Shen Tingjiu steeled himself, turned on his heel, and threw himself over the edge. He spread his arms to slow his fall. It was a long way down, but he'd rather reach the bottom as slowly as possible, all things considered. It was like falling in a dream, an endless airy feeling of weightlessness, his hair and robes fluttering up to block his vision of the receding sky. A second later, a strong arm wrapped around his waist and he was hauled onto Zhang Yang's narrow blade, Binghu's warm chest at his back.
Shizun,
he cried in relief. The light around them dimmed as the entrance to the abyss began to close inexorably above them. There was no going back. Shen Xingju's heart was in his throat, but he composed himself and said,
"Well done, Binghe."
"Congratulations. You have successfully completed the important mission, beginning of the legend, Luo Binghe's fall and rebirth, rewarding protagonist coolness level 10,000.
He breathed a sigh of relief as they flew on, an old weight falling off his shoulders.
"Due to special circumstances, the new calculated score, Luo Binghe's heart level, is at 75% fullness. Please continue your efforts."
What the fuck? They had to fight a venomous armored platypus immediately after touching down in the bottom of the abyss, the rocky landscape lit ominously around them by bioluminescent fungus and winding streams of lava. Actually, Binghe did most of the fighting. Since he still had his sword, Shen Yuan, 1, cannon, 0, he dealt with it efficiently, and with a pair of owl trolls besides. Shen Tingju was still mostly useless due to without a cure, but he called out a few pointers. After that, he walked Binghe through clearing his meridians so they could set off on their swords in search of a source of water. The swords allowed them to travel much faster than Binghe had in cannon. He'd mostly walked, injured and limping, more often than not. And Shen Tingju was cautiously optimistic that their speed, coupled with the advice Shen Tinghua had given them, would see them out of the abyss in a matter of weeks. Or months, surely. They had found a long, sinister-looking river to follow. They couldn't travel too close to the banks, however, on account of the tentacles. Watching Binghe tear through the monsters of the abyss was a lot like watching an RPG on story mode. He provided advice and tactical support, of course, but mostly he took a ringside seat to Binghe progressively slaughtering his way through bigger and bigger monsters, discovering new abilities and powers, and gaining magical treasures, talismans, and armor as he went. Another reason that Shen Tingju generally hung back was purely practical. As Binghe had pointed out, his voice high and strained after Shen Tingju had been gored by a black void bull beetle, he could heal much faster than his Shizune, and if they were to travel through the abyss as quickly as possible, it would be better if he were the one injured. He hadn't calmed down until Shen Tingju, finally bandaged and healing, had agreed.
"I swear I'll protect you, Shizune," he had vowed, with all the fervor of a young hero, not blackened in the slightest. "And once we are free of this place, I will wreak our vengeance upon Mobei Jun and the traitorous Shang Tinghua."
Okay, mostly not blackened. His eyes were glowing slightly red with his increased bloodlust. Still, that was the beginning of one of their new rituals. After each fight, Shen Tingju would sit and wash Binghua's wounds as they healed on their own, ostensibly to prevent infection. But Shen Tingju suspected it was more comforting for both of them than strictly necessary. Luo Binghe would stretch like a cat under Shen Tingju's careful attention. Binghe was stripped to the waist so that Shen Tingju could clean a gash along his ribs, even in the dim light his pectorals gleamed. Binghe never seemed particularly in a hurry to right his garments, and Shen Tingju let the impropriety slide. He'd gotten out of the practice of looking at bare chests since transmigrating, but Binghe wasn't a chore to look at. Additionally, he didn't want to push Binghe past even his inhuman endurance. Taking time to rest was still important. Before the conference, he'd laden Binghe's storage ring with food and supplies, more than he should have needed for the event. Binghe hadn't questioned it then, but as Shen Tingju persuaded him to pull out steamed buns and seed cakes, he felt his disciple's suspicious gaze on him.
"Speak," he said shortly. "We are in too perilous a place to leave things unsaid to fester." "Begging Shizune's pardon," Binghe replied and bowed, looking at Shen Tingju from under his lashes. "But this disciple has noticed that Shizune did not seem surprised by this," he said, gesturing at the mark at his forehead. "Or this abyss." Shen Tingju nodded and casually fanned himself, using the small barrier of wood and silk to give himself room to compose a reply. As the silence stretched on, Binghe's eyes seemed to glisten slightly. "If Shizune does not wish to tell this disciple..." Shen Tingju sighed and reached up to place a hand on Binghe's curly head. His hair was messy and tangled from hours of combat, and Shen Tingju began fixing it without thinking, his fingers combing through the tangles until Binghe's wet eyes became drowsy and heavy-lidded.
Shen-Ting-Tiu allowed Bing-He to rest his head on his lap and began cautiously. It is a difficult topic. Bing-He replied. Shen-Ting-Tiu wasn't even sure if he was listening, which made it easier to speak. Thinking quickly, he came up with a semi-plausible explanation that was neither a lie nor something that would leave him hemorrhaging B-points. I mentioned before that Bing-He's heritage is not simple, he said, swiping an absent-minded thumb over the demon mark faintly glowing on Bing-He's brow. What I said before was true. Righteous cultivators will not accept you so easily, and the demon realm is not a forgiving place either. If Bing-He is to thrive and find a place to belong, he will need every possible advantage. This disciple only wishes to belong beside Shizun, Bing-He murmured, turning his face to hide against Shen-Ting-Tiu's thigh. Shen-Ting-Tiu scratched his scalp lightly. Honestly, his disciple was still so sticky. Even I am not strong enough to protect Bing-He from everything that may threaten him. He could say this confidently. He'd read the books, and many of the threats were suitably overpowered as to be impressive when Bing-He inevitably beat them. Shen-Ting-Tiu didn't have so much pride to admit that he couldn't fight on that level, and if his seduction skills were up to the task of bedding all the sisters that needed to be bedded, he wouldn't have died a virgin. The sword we are seeking is not only the key to getting out of the abyss. It is a powerful weapon that will allow Bing-He to face any opponent. But this disciple has Zhen Yang. You will find that sometimes in life you need to be strong enough to make your opponents listen before you can make peace, he said, trying to sound wise. He thought it sounded better than sometimes you have to be the biggest bully on the playground to stop being bullied. Kang Tiong's sect might be reasonable, Shen-Ting-Tiu added. But there are other sects to be wary of, and then many demon factions beyond that. This disciple understands, Bing-He said, stifling a yawn. This disciple will take the sword and win his place by Shizun's side. Shen-Ting-Tiu was not sure he really had entirely understood, but Bing-He had fallen asleep, so it was the end of the conversation. Congratulations! Protagonist inspiration levels acquired! Luo Bing-He's heart level is at 90%. Please continue your efforts. Inspiration sounded good, but what were these heart levels? System, please explain. Thank you for your inquiry. The system is currently tracking Luo Bing-He's heart level as it has exceeded the required percentage. What does it do? Once heart level reaches 100%, the protagonist may pursue non-canonical romantic interests. Please continue your efforts for a happy resolution. Was Luo Bing-He going to meet some kind of new demoness down here? Shen-Ting-Tiu felt a small pang at the thought of looking on as Luo Bing-He left him behind to seduce a non-canonical sister. Usually he was excited to see the romances of proud immortal demon Wei play out in live action, but suddenly it didn't seem so appealing. Perhaps it was because of how much he now depended on Luo Bing-He. He shook his head. His feelings didn't matter. He knew better than to get in the way of narrative destiny, canon or not. Luckily, not every night they stopped to rest resulted in such heavy topics being discussed. Bing-He had taken to knitting nets from the sinew of some of the monsters they'd slain and requested stories from Shen-Ting-Tiu to keep him occupied. As they had both really only read the books at the Tingjing Peak Library, Shen-Ting-Tiu had to improvise. Luckily, Star Wars translated fairly easily into a Xianxia setting, and that kept them occupied for quite a while. Bing-He cried when Obi-Wan was killed off, though, so Shen-Ting-Tiu tweaked the story so that he came back to life in the end through some cheap plot device. And then Bing-He had made up his own epilogue where he was reunited with Luke in a very dramatic fashion. Given the internet, Shen-Ting-Tiu would have encouraged him to look at fanfiction. As it was, whenever he had adequate light to draw, he would illustrate the bestiary he'd started compiling, as Bing-He elaborated on his ideas for Luke's unofficial future adventures. At some point, though, it became obvious that they were not going to exit the abyss as easily as Shen-Ting-Tiu had hoped. They had reached the headwaters of the river and slew the monster that lived there, and there was no sign of Xin Mo. From then on, without a lead, they traveled on randomly. Sometimes they encountered something that seemed familiar from proud immortal demon Wei, and Shen-Ting-Tiu hoped they were on the right track, but none of it seemed to fit together in the same way it had in the book. And then, one day, a shiny gash of light pierced the fabric of reality in the abyss, and Shang Tinghua's round and rosy-cheeked face peeked through it. Then it immediately jerked back to avoid the death throes of the four-tailed Yaogwai Bing had just slain.
Shang Tinghua,
Shen Tingtu cried.
Get back here.
Is it safe?
A faint voice called from the still shimmering rent in space.
From the monster, yes,
Bing He confirmed with a dangerous glint in his eye. Shen Tingtu gave him a quelling look. A cloth-wrapped bundle hurtled out of the portal, and then Shang Tinghua's head reappeared.
I brought food, don't hurt me,
he said in a rush.
And I have information, real information this time.
What?
Shen Tingtu gritted out.
Was the information before?
I kind of just, you know, if you followed a river, at least you'd have water, right? It wasn't bad advice, right?
Said the man who clearly had not experienced the tentacles. Shen Tingtu clapped a hand down on Luo Binghe's sword arm just in time.
I am eager to hear of Shang Shidi's new information, then, he said dryly.
Good, because we have to get you out of here. Everyone on Tingjing Peak is crying all the time. Your students really like you, bro. It's intense. Yuo Tingyuan is an official mourning, of course, and even Luo Tingge looks sad all the time, and I honestly didn't know he had emotions. Worse, he made me go night hunting with him, and...
The point, please.
That is the point. We went on a night hunt and ran into Madame Mayan. You remember her from my book.
His eyes darted to Luo Binghe, and he coughed awkwardly.
From the thing? Anyway, we asked her to see if she could divine how to get you out of the abyss, and guess what? She didn't even have to. Actually, she said her abilities only work on people she's touching, but it didn't matter because she knows a group of succubi who are camped out in the abyss, and they're pretty close to the grotto where Sin Mo is. And so if you find them, they'll be able to tell you where the sword is. Good news, right?
Shang Tinghua was grinning, unfairly pleased with himself. Shen Tingtu moved to grab him by the head.
It would be much easier to find the succubi if Shang Shidi were with us, he suggested.
This time, Bing He grabbed him by the elbow.
This disciple wants to stay only with Shizun. We don't need outsiders. This is your Shishu. He doesn't qualify as an outsider,
Shen Tingtu scolded.
Bing He just looked mulish.
Ha ha,
Shang Tinghua laughed nervously.
My king is actually holding on to the back of my robe so that I don't go through the portal by accident. He kind of insisted before he would help me contact you.
How did you find us?
Blood magic,
Shang Tinghua said. Had he saved some of Binghe's blood from his fight with Mo Beijun all this time? That seems strange. But he was kind of a strange man, so Shen Tingtu put that thought away for later.
More importantly, how can we find the succubi?
There were some rustling noises, and Shang Tinghua tossed him another pouch.
There's a vial of the blood of one of the succubus's sisters in there. She was with Madame Mayan, and Luo Tingge didn't even kill her. And then there's the spell to use the blood-tracking magic. It should lead you right to them.
Bing He picked up the pouch and checked the contents.
The clear vials are a gift for the succubi. Madame Mayan said they're probably low on... how old are you now? I don't know if I should say.
I'm 18, Bing He said, confused.
They weren't sure of the exact day, but they'd tried to celebrate his birthday anyway. Shen Tingtu had given him a portrait of his fight against the magma millipede.
Thank you, Shishu, Bing He said. I suppose I don't need to get revenge against you after all.
Shang Tinghua paled dramatically and was abruptly jerked back through the closing portal.
Quest, escape from the abyss now initiated. Warning, system recommends that user Shen Tingtu fill the protagonist's heart levels before retrieving key item, Sin Mo.
Shen Tingtu wondered if that meant Bing His non-canonical love interest was one of the succubi. The tracking spell ended up, like most blood magic, to be a product of demonic cultivation, so Bing He took the initiative on casting the spell. As they traveled, the barren, rocky landscape of the abyss they had become familiar with fell away to more varied scenery. Alien-looking trees and vines, vividly blue and pink pools of water, glowing rocks and luminous fungi, created an entirely new and not unpleasant atmosphere. If the abyss previously had been like the plain of Oblivion in an Elder Scrolls game, then this area looked like Blackreach in Skyrim. Was Airplane Shooting Towards the Sky a gamer?
Airplane bro, you utter hack!
He thought to himself, weirdly feeling a little fond this time, despite the usual insult. If his lead this time actually worked, Shen Tingtu was prepared to forgive him a lot of his squirrely nonsense from earlier. A few abandoned ruins appeared intriguingly in the distance, but the spell led them past all of these and instead brought them to a natural cavern, the entrance wreathed in sickeningly sweet-smelling pink flowers. As they leapt down from their swords, a cluster of equally sweet and pink young women tumbled out of the entrance, their bare, slender arms reaching out to them beseechingly. Shen Tingtu grabbed the collar of Luo Bingho's robes and took a few decisive steps back.
"None of that, please," he said. "If you can refrain from interfering in our pursuits, we will not interfere with yours."
They pouted prettily and still seemed to be giving off that come-take-me-now vibe, and even though Shen Tingtu was not as affected by it as he could have been, it still made him feel uncomfortable.
"And if you would like your supplies from Madame Mayan, you will stop that right this instant," Shen Tingtu added, channeling his very best stern teacher voice.
Bingo seemed to shiver slightly under his hand, probably due to the sudden absence of whatever strange hormones the succubi had been giving off.
"Madame has never sent us cultivators before," Shen Tingtu heard one of them whisper. "Are we sure they aren't supposed to be a snack?"
"No, that one's a demon," her friend pointed out. "Just more abyss strangeness. I swear this place gets odder every year."
Consensus reached, the succubi bustled them inside, cooing over the supplies Bingo handed over and generally making them feel as welcome as any normal group of women could, if they were in a cavern in the bowels of hell. The cavern wasn't all bad, actually. A branching network sectioned off into private chambers fitted with decent furnishings. They also let Shen Tingtu and Bingo make use of the hot springs, though the steaming water had Bingo flushing so red that Shen Tingtu sent him out early so he wouldn't overheat. Careful of the system's admonishments, Shen Tingtu made sure to leave Luo Bingho alone with the succubi as much as possible so he could meet his new love interest. He had a bet with himself that Bingho would go for the kind one that resembled Ning Ying Ying. He was feeling a kind of way about that he didn't want to analyze too closely. He had always been close to Bingho, and they grew more so in the abyss with no one to depend on but each other. Rather than feel constrained or annoyed by the forced proximity, they clicked together, filling each other's gaps and balancing each other's weaknesses. Bingo had always been so sticky that he'd never felt the threat of losing him, really, even when he knew how the story was meant to go. It hadn't been viscerally real for him until the system had counted down. Maybe that's why he'd only needed a thin excuse to jump in with him. But while he'd never felt that their bond would be threatened if one day Bingo turned his eyes to Ning Ying Ying or Luo Mingyan, he wasn't sure what it would look like if Bingo ran off with an unknown demoness. In the back of his mind, he'd always thought they'd return to his bamboo house on Tingjing Peak when they left the abyss. But that wasn't necessarily true, was it? Bingo would have a demon empire to conquer, a new young wife to devote his boundless affection and loyalty to. Where would this Shizun fit in? Bingho would fill up his love meter with one or more of these women while Shen Tingtu watched from the sidelines, extraneous and alone. The mentor that gets discarded by the narrative once the hero reaches his full potential. Would the system even let him stay if he was no longer useful? He pictured himself as Obi-Wan, getting struck down and vanishing, only a puddle of green and white robes left behind.
"Shizun, there you are. This disciple has been looking for you everywhere."
Bingo's face was lit up with a relieved smile, the brightness of it dispelling Shen Tingtu's fears for the moment.
"Ah, Bingo, this master had hoped Bingo would be making use of his time with the young ladies to,
Bingo blushed, his face as red as it had been in the hot springs. When he had walked past them earlier, he had seen the succubi chatting happily with Bingo, who had been nodding attentively at whatever they said.
"This disciple has learned the way to the sword," he said excitedly now, "but it is guarded by a very strong demon."
"A lich, actually," one of the succubi said. Shen Tingtu thought her name was Dayu, which he remembered as she'd been noticeably unflustered by them so far.
She had followed Bingyu at a slower pace, but caught the end of Bingyu's comments.
"I told your young man this, and I'll tell you too. You should rethink your quest. The guardian of Sin Mo is its last wielder, who refused to release the sword even in death. He's now a demonic lich, and has set every last vestige of his magic on guarding the grotto."
"I appreciate your advice," Shen Tingtu said, "but it is our only path out of this place."
"It's your decision," she said, shrugging gently, "though I believe you might be better served to wait for the abyss to open again in 25 years. You are immortals, aren't you? The wait seems worth your life."
Shen Tingtu put his hand on Binghe's shoulders.
This Luo Binghe is stronger than you know. I believe he will triumph over the Lich easily.
Easily might be stretching it, but he didn't regret pumping Binghe up a little when he beamed so radiantly as a result. Dayu still looked unimpressed and not at all like a succubus falling for a young hero.
As you wish, she said. We will wish you the best, and if you survive, we will remember your names.
They left the succubi the next morning, or what passed for morning in the endless abyss. Shen Tingjie was on high alert for longing glances between Luo Binghe and any of the ladies. But though he did a great deal of blushing when one of them called out to him to remember her advice, he did not look back when they left. The grotto was in one of the lusher parts of the Blackreach region of the abyss and not particularly far from the succubus den. A clear pool lay at the base of a low waterfall, teeming with a glowing iridescent species of koi with unhinging jaws and inch-long fangs. A natural-seeming chain of boulders led across the pool and behind the waterfall. Binghe insisted on leading the way, creating a neat shield of qi to allow Shen Tingtu to pass beneath the waterfall without getting wet. The entrance to the grotto was further choked with hanging vines that rustled and moved as they approached. Binghe struck them aside with Shang Yang before they could lash out at them. Their progress was steady until the spiritual barrier. It couldn't be dispelled from their side, so they worked to penetrate it enough to enter. In the novel, Binghe had been able to do this on his own, but the overuse of energy had weakened him. A cheap ploy to increase suspense. But with Shen Tingtu's help, they made a malleable sort of hole in which they could enter. Except Shen Tingtu couldn't. As he reached through, the nerves all along his skin fired in piercing agony, and he could feel his chi begin to slow and stagnate in his meridians. He suppressed a scream, not wanting to trigger any additional safety measures. But his indrawn gasp of pain alerted Binghe, who was not experiencing any such problems. He immediately turned back and pulled Shen Tingtu from the barrier, and out through the vines again to the marginally safer area of the pond.
Shizun, what is it?
He said, his bright eyes searching Shen Tingtu for injury. Shen Tingtu tried to control his own breathing with an effort.
I think it is something about without a cure. You helped to clear my meridians only yesterday, and yet as soon as I touched the barrier...
Binghe immediately reached for his wrists, and Shen Tingtu swatted his hands away with his fan.
No, save your strength for the fight.
How can Shizun fight like this? Let this disciple help.
I will be at a disadvantage, but I can still fight, Binghe, Shen Tingtu rebuked.
Acting tough felt good in the moment, as Binghe looked at him with wide, admiring eyes. But he felt like he had tiny knives stabbing him all over, and honestly wasn't sure how much fighting he'd be able to do. Then Binghe got a determined, obstinate look on his face.
This disciple will win the battle quickly then, and come back for Shizun, he said.
He looked like a hero from a drama. Shen Tingtu was so struck by it that he couldn't react in time to stop Binghe from plunging back through the waterfall. Shen Tingtu waited, willing the pain to die down.
Binghe would be fine, wouldn't he? Hadn't he defeated this thing easily in the book? Okay, it had taken nearly 6 chapters and 2 power-ups, but still.
And then the system chimed in, its cheerful alert notification at odds with the severity of the message.
Essential plot point, defeat the Lich in progress. Warning, the protagonist does not have the required heart levels to complete this stage of the quest successfully. Warning, warning, warning.
Shen Tingtu dragged himself to his feet, breathing heavily.
System, what does that mean?
Warning, warning.
He's the protagonist, he can't die, right?
Warning, the system recommends that user Shen Tingtu intervene before the protagonist is defeated. Failure to save the protagonist will result in immediate account determination.
Shen Tingtu abruptly closed the warning message box. He didn't need the thread to himself to motivate him to save Binghe, if he was actually in real trouble. Why would his protagonist Halo fail now of all times? Though Shen Tingtu was complaining mentally, he'd already started moving. With his chi blocked, he could only move at a slow mortal run, swinging Xu Ya like a machete to cut through the choking veil of hanging vines to get to the open space of the grotto. He arrived just in time to save Luo Binghe. Though his chi was depleted, he had enough fire talisman stored away to cause a dramatic and smoky diversion.
Together, he and Binghu limped back through the barrier, the deadly vines, and the thundering falls, and found a hidden cave to shelter in.
"This disciple failed, Shizun," Binghu said, his head lowered in shame.
A Shen Tingtu set about washing his wounds with the clear water from the stream that ran through the cave.
"It isn't Binghu's fault. This master never should have let him go alone," Shen Tingtu replied brusquely.
Since he'd begun teaching Binghu, he had never really failed at anything. Well, there were those maneuvers that had always seemed to make him trip and fall over into Shen Tingtu. But outside of that, his natural talent and plot armor had always carried him through, so he was taking this about as hard as an honor student getting their first ever failing grade. Shen Tingtu wasn't sure how to comfort him.
"This isn't the first time this disciple has failed, Shizun. If this disciple had retrieved the 1,000-leaf cleansing snow lotus..."
"Are you still thinking of that flower? Hasn't this master told Binghu that that flower won't cure the poison?"
"But how could Shizun know for sure?"
Shen Tingtu drew himself up, impatient with the persistent questioning when all his energy should be reserved for making sure Binghu didn't bleed out in front of him.
"Because this master knows what the cure is, and it is not a flower."
Binghu tried to get up, suddenly eager as a young puppy. Shen Tingtu pushed him back down and continued his attempts at first aid. Binghu still vibrated under his fingers.
"If Shizun knows the cure, we should go find it."
Shen Tingtu shook his head, regretting he'd ever said anything.
"Unless the cure is not in the abyss?"
Shen Tingtu quirked his mouth just slightly, amused at the irony of the cure itself, worrying that the cure was too far away. He hurried to cover the slip in expression with his fan, but Binghu had already seen it.
"The cure is here? Master, let this disciple go and get you the cure immediately."
"Binghu, sit back down before your limbs fall off entirely. Honestly, you might as well know so that you don't go herring off by yourself into the abyss. This master has long known that the cure to this poison is..." He winced. Ugh, was he really going to say it? "The cure is dual cultivation with someone who possesses heavenly demon blood."
Luo Binghu froze, his eyes enormous. "Shizun," he said, his voice low and breathless. "I have heavenly demon blood."
Shen Tingtu bopped him with his fan. "Of course this master is aware, Binghu, but that doesn't make the cure any less impossible."
"I'll do it," Binghu said, clasping Shen Tingtu's blood-stained hands between his and making him drop his fan.
"Absolutely not," Shen Tingtu said. "Binghu, I didn't push you into this abyss by yourself. Of course I'm not going to push you into this."
He looked away at the plush, vivid red moss, the gentle indigo radiance of the riot of mushrooms speckling the cavern's shimmering walls. The abyss was a vast, nightmarish place, but with pockets of breathtaking alien scenery like this, he couldn't entirely hate it. He gestured with his fan toward the winding spring, burbling with fresh, clear water.
"This master has driven you relentlessly, but looking at this place, don't you feel we can endure a while longer? Rather than force yourself, we can stay..."
While Shen Tingtu had been looking away, Luo Binghu, like one of the abyss's natural denizens, had taken the opportunity to launch an assault on his unsuspecting prey. He was kissing Shen Tingtu. At first, it was a simple press of lips, stopping Shen Tingtu's words in his throat. But Binghu's lips were plush and soft, and when they persuasively nudged Shen Tingtu's, his own lips parted unconsciously. Binghu immediately deepened the kiss, his tongue thrusting clumsily inside. Shen Tingtu, who had once bravely kissed a girl on the cheek and felt high on his own daring for a week, was not prepared. He melted into it, molding his body to Binghu's as his apprentice pressed him down, down into the moss. Tipping his head back, not daring to breathe, he moaned into the kiss, that thrusting tongue simulating a more intimate connection, almost like sex. That thought snapped him out of the delicious fugue, and he shoved Binghu away.
"Binghu!" "This disciple begs forgiveness for his presumption," Binghu said. Despite his words, he had a particular stubborn, mutinous expression that had never yet boded well. What was Shen Tingtu thinking? This was his cute little apprentice. Although he wasn't so little anymore. In fact, over the last few months, his beanpole adolescent height had filled out into broad shoulders, battle-hardened muscles through his arms and chest, and thighs that could, and had, crushed a monstrous skull. To have all that power pressing over him as a promise rather than a threat. There was nothing cute about it. An electric shudder ran up Shentingtiu's spine.
Binghe,
Shentingtiu began, but his voice broke awkwardly over the familiar syllables of his disciple's name. He licked his lips, ignoring the intense gaze Binghe focused on his tongue, and tried again.
This master cannot take advantage of his disciple in such a way. To abuse this master's position and force a disciple would be an unforgivable act.
Binghe's eyes turned red, the intense light of them burning past Shentingtiu's pretenses.
This disciple understands, Binghe said with unwanted gentleness. Then this disciple will just need to force his master.
Despite the threat implied in his words, Binghe's hands on his wrists were gentle and coaxing as he pinned them above Shentingtiu's head. The slightest amount of resistance would break his grip, and Binghe patiently waited to see if it would come. But Shentingtiu couldn't bring himself to push back. His entire body went lax with his surrender.
We don't have anything,
Shentingtiu tried one last protest, but Binghe just grinned boyishly, sly with his own cleverness. He pulled a small porcelain jar out of his sleeves.
From the succubi, he said. They were quite informative.
And Binghe is such a diligent student, Shentingtiu noted dryly. Binghe dipped his finger in the jar and then brushed an oil-slick finger down Shentingtiu's neck, parting the collar of his robes, baring his chest until he could circle one pale peaked nipple with it. The oil was warm, somehow, and left a tingling, stimulated trail in its wake. Shentingtiu gasped, entirely unable to make any further sarcastic comments as Binghe demonstrated the results of his apparently comprehensive lessons. Binghe, when given a task, was typically detail-oriented, thorough, and indefatigable. When he was truly engaged, he displayed perfectionist tendencies, which Shentingtiu had occasionally chided him for when he felt brusque efficiency would do. All of these traits were very much on display as Binghe prepared Shentingtiu's ass with solicitous diligence, applying liberal coatings of the tingling oil while asking repeatedly how it was and was it too much. He interspersed these queries with comments on how warm and tight Shentingtiu was, how welcoming and soft, until Shentingtiu was forced to hide his thin face behind his sleeve.
How lax of me, Binghe scolded himself. We'll soil Shizun's lovely robes this way,
and began swiftly stripping them both before Shentingtiu could react, as though both of their robes had not been spattered with all kinds of dirt and gore over the last months. If the cleaning charms could handle that, then they would hardly be overwhelmed by... It was too late to argue. Binghe had even folded their robes and laid them carefully out of the way, and now there was nothing separating their bodies, not even air, as Binghe lowered himself atop Shentingtiu's body, trembling with more than just the chill of his nakedness. Luo Binghe captured Shentingtiu's lips in a kiss that was first gentle and reassuring, something Shentingtiu sorely needed. But it soon grew hotter and hotter, Binghe kindling his arousal by brushing his large hand over Shentingtiu's chest, grazing both nipples with the wide span of his fingers, and trailing down and down and... A large palm, slick with oil, enveloped his cock, and Shentingtiu thrust into the grip unthinkingly. He panted against Binghe's open mouth, sinking into the sensation. And then Binghe's hand moved lower once more, guiding his own cock into Shentingtiu's now slick entrance. It was too much. The inexorable push of Binghe's cock felt like it was splitting him in two. He clenched his eyes shut, stinging tears squeezing out onto his cheeks. He gulped in air, trying to breathe through it. Binghe stilled. His free hand traced the wet line of Shentingtiu's lashes.
Shizun, please open your eyes and look at this disciple, he said.
The round tip of his cock had pushed past Shentingtiu's rim, and Binghe held it there, unmoving, as Shentingtiu adjusted. With a great effort, like waking up from a long dream, Shentingtiu opened his eyes to see his stupidly handsome disciple.
Binghe, he said with great effort, please do not break this, master.
I would never break something I loved, Binghe whispered, holding his gaze shamelessly, even as a bright red blush traced itself from his cheeks to the tips of his ears.
Binghe, you...
Shentingtiu tried to ask, unable to fathom that Binghe felt. He couldn't even name it. Admiration, of course. Lust had been unexpected, because wasn't Binghe straight? But love, He felt inadequate, entirely undeserving of that kind of pure, ardent feeling. He was a liar, an actor, a manipulative puppeteer of shadows at the whims of a cold, calculating system.
Shizune doesn't have to say anything, Binghe said shyly. This disciple knows that Shizune loves him too.
And Shen Tingqiu already knew that too. He loved the blackened protagonist of Proud Immortal Demon Way, and he loved his small, sticky sheep of a disciple. When his fond affection for this man had become romantic love wasn't something he could trace, it must have been a gradual blossoming of feeling, too subtle for him to register as he panicked about the future. But it was there, in the way his thoughts lingered on Binghe when he was away on night hunts, and in the way his heart sped up when he returned. The sweet, constant care of breakfast cooked and chores completed side by side had fueled it. Nights playing the guttine or reading poetry had indelibly marked him over days and months and years, their love languages holding an entire conversation through unspoken subtext. Out loud, Binghe was still confidently explaining what Shen Tingqiu had just realized.
I heard you talking to Shang Shishu. I know only I had to come here, but Shizune came with me. Shizune hasn't left this disciple ever.
With Binghe blinking down at him sweetly, his cock splitting him, it was a truth Shen Tingqiu couldn't deny. He loved Luo Binghe. That his unknown feelings were mutual was an unasked-for blessing. Shen Tingqiu set his lips. He didn't deserve Binghe's regard as he was, but he could earn it. He had been poisoned for Binghe, jumped into an abyss for him. He had been patient and kind for Binghe. He could try being honest, too.
Binghe has always been my favorite person, he admitted.
He would have to work himself up to saying more. But even this small admission had an electrifying effect on Binghe.
Shizune,
he cried happily, and with an almost involuntary push of his hips, he thrust his full, endless length inside Shen Tingqiu. Binghe's cock felt searingly hot as it dragged wetly inside of him. The shape of it was marking him, wrecking him for anyone else, and Shen Tingqiu clenched down on it helplessly, writhing until it fit so deeply in him that he felt the phantom of it all the way through him, up into his throat. He had to brace himself, clinging to Binghe's shoulders to keep from sliding back from each powerful thrust. And Binghe, sticky as always, clung right back, mouthing biting kisses down his neck and collarbone, until the only noise Shen Tingqiu could make were panting moans. They were hardly any more lewd than the sounds of their bodies joining together. Shen Tingqiu rode his own pleasure and the slight edge of pain higher and higher until his vision threatened to blacken out. And then he shuddered and came, spurting his release over Binghe's sculpted abs, white drops shining on his jade-pale skin. Binghe shivered and his eyes darkened. Suddenly he shifted, scooping Shen Tingqiu's now limp form into his arms. Without withdrawing his cock, he balanced Shen Tingqiu astride his muscled thighs. Binghe's cock shifting up and inside of him caused a stab of sensation that had Shen Tingqiu crying out with pleasure and the pain of overstimulation. Binghe didn't stop. With a tight grip on Shen Tingqiu's ass, he maneuvered Shen Tingqiu's limp, post-orgasmic body like a doll, bouncing him down on his cock like a machine, over and over again, relentless in the pursuit of his own release. Shen Tingqiu looped his arms around Binghe's neck and hid his flushing face in Binghe's shoulder, just trying to hold on. The repeated jackhammer thrusts against his prostate were too much, and he felt himself growing hard again, his cock occasionally brushing against Binghe's stomach, smearing pre-cum in his previous ejaculate like a lewd finger painting. When Binghe finally came, Shen Tingqiu came with him, his own cum dripping down to mingle with the cum leaking out of his poor, abused asshole. Binghe shuddered through it, clasping him tightly, before lowering him back down on the soft moss and cuddling up beside him.
Congratulations! 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 Protagonist's heart level has reached 100%. User Shen Tingqiu has unlocked Heart Emoji, Eternal Bliss, Heart Emoji, an original romantic path with the protagonist. Please continue your efforts for a happy ending.
Shen Tingqiu groaned and shut the system interface, which had devolved into a series of heart and eggplant emojis. In the aftermath, Binghe looked as pleased as a cat, while Shen Tingqiu was a panting mess. He supposed it was better than being traumatized, but he had the stamina of a triple-digit harem master already, and Shen Tingqiu was only one man. I understand that I have thoroughly, he said, sounding extremely satisfied as he drew out the word, thoroughly compromised my master. So of course this disciple will take responsibility and marry him. His cheeks were as pink as the first bloom of spring blossoms, the innocence of the blush belied by his presumptuous words. Shen Tingtu swatted him with his fan. Don't be shameless, he admonished, his own blush heating his cheeks to an unbearable degree. Bing Yu coaxed his chin up with a finger. His eyes sparkled with innumerable stars. Dual cultivating with Shizune has increased this disciple's strength, he hinted shamelessly. Perhaps a few more times will... Oh, well, the demon lich was pretty powerful. As a master, didn't he owe it to his disciple to help him in times like these? All Bing's impatient urgency to fight the lich were replaced by the need to take his Shizune. On the soft, tender moss, against the hard rock wall of the cave, in the cool, swirling eddies of the stream, on and on. By the time he was finally sated, 3 days later, Binghu was practically glowing with energy. Shen Tingtu felt himself replete and healthy, the flow of qi through his meridians like a rushing river, rather than the thin trickle the poison had reduced it to. He was also sore in unspeakable places. But it was time. The fight took 6 chapters. Or it felt like it did, like Shen Tingtu was trapped in an overlong episode of Naruto. For hours, they worked together to improvise strategies to defeat the demon as he shrieked at them in a long-forgotten demonic dialect, hurling spells and invective with impossible frequency. Their only saving grace was that Xin Mo did not answer to his command, nor yet to Binghu's. The sword seemed to loom from where it was embedded in the ground at the very center of the grotto, feeding off the blood and resentful energy as the battle progressed. Because they'd skipped precipitously to the end of the Abyss plot arc, Binghu had to level up 3 times mid-fight before he could deal the final blow to the Lich, who crumpled in a heap of empty robes. Shen Tingtu shuddered at the sight. And then Luo Binghu drew Xin Mo, and the dark, resentful energy within the grotto flared. Binghu's eyes and demon mark grew red as he struggled to master the blade. They were both tired from the battle, the flush of energy they had when entering the grotto now depleted. And the strain was evident on Luo Binghu's face. Shen Tingtu stalked forward and placed his hands on Binghu's cheeks and rested his forehead against the gleaming demon mark. Binghu, I'm here, he said. Binghu lunged forward and captured his mouth in a biting kiss. There was no finesse, just need. They didn't even properly strip. The things that needed to be untied were untied, and fabric was shoved to the side as they came together. Binghu slid in wetly, without prep, Shen Tingtu still stretched and ready from their previous exertions. He still felt the burn of Luo Binghu's huge cock as it penetrated him, the sheer size of it impossible to adjust to completely. And there was little gentleness this time. It was a rough and primal coupling as Binghu wrestled with Xin Mo. Shen Tingtu bore it, pliant, receptive, and extremely turned on. This feral creature, red-eyed and dangerous, was yet another facet of Luo Binghu. He suspected his preference would always be for the doe-eyed version that made the most delicious congee he'd ever tasted, but this Binghu was bringing to mind some of the more explicit fantasies he'd never admit to having while reading the later chapters of Proud Immortal Demon Way. Shen Tingtu fed his own qi with the power of his arousal and sent it driving into Binghu's meridians, balancing the demonic energy surging through him from Xin Mo. Gradually, he felt the sword's malice fade as Binghu fed from both of them. Hate swallowed by passion, resentment channeled into love. Binghu came with a cry, spilling into Shen Tingtu in warm spurts. Shen Tingtu's own orgasm was nearly dry, his release spent over the previous day's long marathon. Through their mingled qi, Shen Tingtu could feel the bond with Xin Mo snap into place, the fierce spirit finally subdued. Binghu rested his head on Shen Tingtu's chest and slept. Shen Tingtu placed a hand on his curly mass of hair and let out a breath. There were so many things left to do. They needed to figure out how to get out of the abyss, where to go, and if Binghu could suppress his demon blood enough to return to Kangqiong. If he even wanted to, that is. But there was a simplicity and peace to the abyss that Shen Tingtu would miss when they finally left. Aside from all the monsters and the perilous terrain, it was just the two of them, with no sect politics or entanglements. It was ridiculous to want to stay.
but for now, he'd let Bingo rest. Once Bingo figured out how to use Sin Mo to cut through space, he teleported them both to Mobei Jun's ice fortress in the northern demon realm, right into the man's throne room. Ostensibly, they'd chosen their destination so that Shen Tingtu could get any recent news from Chang Tinghua before they revealed themselves to their sect, but he also suspected that Bing He was eager for a rematch with Mobei Jun. As expected, the two demons had immediately rushed at each other and began a furious clash of swords.
"No killing," Shen Tingtu called out.
Bing He grunted in acknowledgement, and then batted Mobei Jun into a pillar with the flat of Sin Mo. The pillar cracked slightly, and Shang Tinghua hurriedly drew Shen Tingtu out of the room.
"They'll be at this for a while," Shang Tinghua said, "and my king won't really try to hurt him, so we can catch up without worrying."
Shen Tingtu fanned himself nervously.
"Now that Bing He has Sin Mo, I'm not worried about Bing He getting hurt."
Normally, Bing He would listen to him implicitly, so he wasn't too worried about Mobei Jun, but Bing He was still angry about the earlier fight.
"Does Bing He have it under control yet?" Shang Tinghua asked.
Shen Tingtu felt a phantom pain in his ass at the question, so his reply was a bit terse.
"Yes, I am worried about his continual use of it, but I know he will need it if he wants to conquer the demon realm."
Shang Tinghua winced and ran a hand over his hair, knocking his bun askew.
"About that," he said.
Apparently, fearing some kind of retribution from Bing He from endangering him and his Shizune by opening the abyss, Airplane Bro had gone on a quest for a powerful ally.
"You would really turn against your protagonist like that?" Shen Tingtu scowled.
"Bro, I really wanted to live. Anyway, I think it worked out all right. Once I freed Tian Lungjun, that's Bing His dad, he was trapped under a mountain, long story. I was able to talk him into only going after the Huanhua Palace Master."
"Huanhua Palace's master? Isn't that a bit random?"
"Not if you read my original outline, bro. You see, there was this whole backstory where..."
"Skip it for now."
"Are you sure? I think I did a really good job with the..."
"Skip it."
"Fine, okay. So once he killed the Huanhua Palace Master, he raided their library."
Shen Tingtu nodded. A sex library held unique and valuable spells and techniques that even a demon without righteous cultivation might appreciate.
"And I guess he found the final volumes of the romance series he was reading before he was bound into the mountain, because he was satisfied enough at that point to go home and reunify the demon realm."
"What the fuck?"
Shen Tingtu said faintly. Shang Tinghua continued. "And once I told him about Bing He, he got very excited. He's definitely going to acknowledge him as his heir, so there's not really any need for Bing He to use Sin Mo to conquer all of that." Hearing a commotion from the throne room, both men turned.
"That's probably him now," Shang Tinghua said.
Following the noises, Shen Tingtu saw a wide-eyed Luo Bing He clasped to the bosom of a handsome demon, who was petting his hair and cooing.
"My son! My Xian gave me such a cute son! Xu Jilang, do you see how cute he is?"
"Yes, Junsheng,"
another handsome demon replied, with enviable composure. Mobei Jun was dusting off the dirt and bits of broken fortress and eyed the group icily.
"Done fighting?" he asked.
Bing He, his eyes shining wetly, looked from Mobei Jun and then back to his father. And then he reared back and punched Tian Lungjun in the face. Eager to avoid the property damage, Shang Tinghua bustled him into the study for privacy and also snacks, which Shen Tingtu was grateful for. They weren't as good as Bing He's, of course, but Bing He was busy trying to smash his father's face in. Tian Lingjun didn't even seem offended, just dove right into the fray, blocking punches while simultaneously chatting with Bing He about his history and how it hadn't been his fault he'd been stuck under a mountain. Mobei Jun had switched to Bing He's side and engaged Xu Jilong in what resembled a friendly spar, just to even the odds. Still, all four of them were so excessively OP that Shang Tinghua was already fretting about the repair costs.
"If he does end up getting along with Tian Lingjun, should we go to the demon realm?" Shen Tingtu asked.
Shang Tinghua stared at him in horror.
"Bro, you have to go back to your peak, are you kidding? The entire sect is going to fall apart if you stay gone much longer."
"But what about Bing He? If someone saw him awaken his heritage or he can't hide it, they'll turn on him. I can't let that happen."
Shang Tinghua tilted his head, looking at him searchingly.
"I doubt it. You have more leverage than you know with Yuo Tingyuan. Anyway, you don't have to stay with Bing He, right?"
Shen Tingtu looked away, not meeting his eyes. He fanned himself casually as he explained. I've promised Binghe that we'd stay together. Out of the corner of his eye, he saw Shang Tinghua lean forward.
Are you kidding me? The rumors are actually true?
What rumors?
That you and Binghe are, you know.
I do not know, said Shen Tingtu forbiddingly.
However, Shang Tinghua was impervious to tone, probably a result of spending all of his time around Mo Beijun.
You are, aren't you? You seduced my protagonist.
He seduced me, Shen Tingtu protested.
Before they could continue, the door to the study slammed open and four demons slouched in, looking slightly worse for wear, but extremely pleased with themselves. Binghe's face lit up when he saw Shen Tingtu, but he didn't stop the story he was telling Tian Leng Jun, and they settled down together. Binghe still looked slightly skeptical of his father, but he was engaged enough by their topic of conversation that he wasn't actively lashing out. Currently, he was telling an enraptured Tian Leng Jun about his adventures, wherein Binghe's Shizun featured prominently. Shen Tingtu tried in vain not to listen.
And then, after he struck down that demon, Shizun said, "My disciple isn't for you to bully," just like that.
Tian Leng Jun gasped delightedly.
But what about the poison?
That armor pierced his hand, Binghe said sadly. For my sake, Shizun was poisoned. Shen Tingtu covered his face with his fan. What was this overly dramatic story? Binghe, don't give other people the wrong impression.
I wrote a pretty good story, didn't I?
Shang Tinghua whispered conspiratorially.
You didn't write this, Shen Tingtu snapped.
I wrote it, Shang Tinghua said. But you're the one who bent my protagonist.
Shen Tingtu smacked him with his fan.
Ow, bro.
He's looking pretty lively. Do you still need help with curing without a cure?
Tian Leng Jun was asking.
Binghe blushed. I cured it already.
Everyone turned to look at Shen Tingtu. He coughed uncomfortably.
Bro, congratulations!
Do I need to make him marry you?
Tian Leng Jun asked, only now talking in a tone that was appropriate for a widely feared demon emperor. Binghe shook his head, his curls flying wildly, but his expression was conflicted.
That's it,
Shen Tingtu said, slamming his hand down on the table.
Everyone get out. I need to talk to Binghe.
Tian Leng Jun turned to Zhu Jilong.
Nephew, can he order me out like that if I'm the demon emperor?
It looks as though he can, Junsheng,
he replied, steering him out of the room after the scurrying form of Shang Tinghua.
Binghe, what's wrong?
Shen Tingtu asked when they were finally alone. Binghe wrung his hands, looking miserable.
Shizun never agreed to this disciple's proposal.
Shen Tingtu felt his eyes twitch. When had he even... Oh, he remembered Binghe saying something about taking responsibility, but surely that wasn't a real proposal. He sighed.
Binghe doesn't need to take responsibility for anything, and this master won't hold him to any promises he made under duress.
Binghe sat up abruptly, determination written all over his face.
But what if this disciple wants to marry Shizun?
Binghe should think it through and be very certain he won't regret tying himself to this old man. After all, wasn't Binghe a stallion protagonist who was never completely satisfied?
This disciple won't regret it.
Hope was shining through the doubt on Binghe's face, and Shen Tingtu was powerless against it. He covered his face with his hand.
If we are to marry, this master will no longer call Binghe his disciple.
Binghe rose and stood next to him, unmistakably taller and grown up.
This disciple, I understand. I'll protect Shizun, my husband, from now on.
When Shen Tingtu peeked up at him, Binghe's smile was radiant. Shen Tingtu shed his doubts and placed his hand in Binghe's.
And I'll protect my husband, too.
And never leave me? I'll stay with Binghe, wherever we find a place to belong. He had been prepared to stay with Binghe in the abyss, after all. It wasn't a difficult promise to make for his favorite person. The end.